This is The Topic is Trek, episode 48, for Friday, July 26th, 2019. Did you ever nibble on a tribble? Welcome to The Topic is Trek, the podcast that runs on impulse power. Join us for a journey where no show has gone before. If it has to do with Star Trek, there's a good chance we'll talk about it. Sooner or later, because on this show, the topic is Trek. Engage already!
Should make that my ringtone. No, not the music, just me talking. It's very confusing. It's my own voice doing it. Anyway, enough of that.
Yeah, hello, that'll clear up the confusion for sure.
Absolutely. I'm Clinton Allvord, one of your Topic is Trek co-hosts and just a general rambling on sort of person. And beaming in to join me, a fellow rambling on person, Mr. Craig Stepp.
Hey, hello.
I'm trying a new catchphrase. Yabba dabba doo.
First you show up and then you beam in. It's really weird.
I'm fast like that.
Oh, okay. And Mr. Chuck Tomasi.
Darmok Enchilada Tanagra's got nothing on Chuck Craig and Clinton and Dragon Con.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. And that's some news I want to get out of the way right up front is that the Topic is Trek will be returning to the Trek track at Dragon Con.
Yay! Huzzah!
More details will follow soon about where and when and perhaps why, but that's a completely different topic.
Whenever it is, it'll be a good day to die.
Wait, what? No, that's not right at all.
It'll be a good day to podcast. They're good.
Okay, much better.
And this time, much better. No abusing Odo's bucket, Craig.
Hey, it looked inviting.
No, it's just wrong. It's just wrong, wrong, wrong.
I couldn't make it to the bathroom.
So in this episode, I'm going to try to rein things in a second here. In this episode, we've got a few main news stories, and then we have a lot to talk about in our main mission, because last weekend, as we record this, was San Diego Comic-Con, and lots of Star Trek news came out of there. And matter of fact, we're going to
wonder why.
Yes? I don't know. Why they just don't go to Sheboygan and announce this stuff, I have no idea.
I feel like they're Super Bowl, isn't it?
It is.
Riverside, Iowa.
They should. Or Vulcan, Alberta, Canada. Right. Just kind of announce that stuff. But yeah. they decide to go, now we're just going to go down the road to San Diego.
I picture some guy standing on the corner of Vulcan, Alberta, Canada. There's a new show coming.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Couple of cars drive by. What's up with him? I don't know. All right. Well, it's time to, let's see if Charlie's ready for subspace chatter.
You don't need all that subspace chatter.
Oh, Charlie, we don't have that much subspace chatter this week. We don't even have any extra stories. We're just going to get right down to some.
Command functions are offline.
Put it back online.
That, I don't know what. You know, you're off for a week, and then suddenly you're just off while you're on. It's amazing. Let's start off with some news that did come out of Comic-Con, but not about a series per se, and Craig is going to tell us about it.
So first up is the CBS has announced that they're going to have a new official podcast. They had one. There was one previously called Engage. Apparently, it ended in April of 2018. So now they've got a gap, and they want to fill it with a new podcast called the Prime Directive. There's no D in there, just Prime Directive. So they'll have a new host and everything, and then they're going to talk into they're going to end up with having some of the actors for the different shows on there. They're going to talk about Lower Decks, Discovery, of course, Picard, so on and so forth. So I'm looking forward to it. I like the other one, the Engage was out for a while. And I didn't realize it was actually an official podcast.
You thought it was just a fan thing like this one?
I thought it was at first, and then they, oh, this is the official podcast. Like, oh, okay. So, and sadly, the official podcast, of course, is called Prime Directive. It's not the topic of Trek. So,
I know. Yeah, I know. I was hoping that, you know, it, of course, to find out if we were the official podcast by reading a press release would be kind of weird. So
I would accept it though.
We could say we're the official podcast. We're the official podcast of Trek fans everywhere. It doesn't matter what you're representing. We could be the official podcast of ice cream. We're just the official podcast of something.
Well,
we're the official podcast of the podcast Prime Directive.
Well, if only somebody started every episode of the show by mentioning they were official podcast of something, that would be really strange. See comedy forecast. Anyway. That's right. I got a ding for my own show there. It's going to be interesting. I mean, of course, the benefit of them doing the show is that CBS can say, oh, you're doing this podcast, you know, Ethan Peck or, you know, Sonequa Martin Green, you're going to be on this show. Whereas we go, I don't know. We don't have anybody who comes on our show. It will be interesting to hear it. Of course, we've had several iterations of this type of thing. We had the one that was the after show for the first season of Discovery, and we had Engage, and now we have the new Facebook show that, well, it was just on while Discovery was on. I'm not sure if they're going to pick it back up again, even the one that was the Facebook chats. And now we've got, it seems like a lot of starting of things and then they just disappear all of a sudden.
Yeah.
We'll see if this one hangs around. We'll see if we can outlast this one. How about that?
Yeah, that's right. So by the way, two things take away, the episodes launched in the fall of 2019 and you'll be able to find the podcast at StarTrek.com.
Excellent.
So, and it says as well as Apple Podcasts, who invented podcasts, of course, and Google Play Music.
No, they didn't.
No,
Al Gore invented podcasts. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, I think that was part of my comment I put on Facebook too. Anyway, so sorry, side discussion. Anyway, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and other apps is what they're saying.
All right, very good. And on to our next story. It's about something we have talked about over and over and over again, and we're going to talk about it again because it appears as if we are very, very close.
Alligators in the sewers.
but that's already here. We're not close to that. That exists already. No, I'm talking about once again the merger or the reunification, to coin a phrase.
Peanut butter and chocolate.
Close. No, nothing close at all. Actually, CBS.
Cagney and Lacey.
Ren and Stimpy.
Rosoli and Isles. I don't know. No, we're talking about CBS and Viacom, which of course includes Paramount Pictures. The latest word that we have heard is that the announcement could be made as early as August 8th of this re-merger of the two companies.
I think we should call it the reunification.
Well, I did. I just did.
Part two.
I know.
part two. Now, the reason August 8th might factor into this is because that apparently is a day I think they both make announcement earnings. So I think that's the time when they would do this type of thing. I was reading an interesting article that even after this merger takes place, should it take place, really CBS and Viacom are in a very small niche when you consider the other players that are out there. Let me see. I did find this article. So the it would be a combined $30 billion market cap, which sounds great, except ABC's parent, Walt Disney, is now worth $254 billion, and NBC parent Comcast is worth $199 billion. And so there is, and the number of households that they're in is dwarfed by things like Netflix, because, you know, they want to get very much into online assets. Paramount or Viacom recently purchased Pluto TV, And so they're really trying to have an online presence, but there's still there's still a very small player in this field. So even after this reunification, it's possible that there could be another player that comes along and just gobbles the entire entity up. It's hard to say at this point. Probably it wouldn't be Disney, though, because I think people would frown on a company owning ABC, Fox, and CBS. So I don't think it will be Disney.
Yeah, they had to make some Disney had to make some concessions to get Fox. So right. I don't know what appetite that they were the people that make the decisions about mergers would have for something like that.
Right. I mean, if these companies merged again and they were going under, it's possible that somebody come in and pick the bones of and say, we're going to take Mission Impossible franchise. We're going to take the Star Trek franchise. We're going to take, you know, this franchise and that asset and that asset. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Hopefully we'll at least get this announcement about this merger.
Let's just have the Star Trek network. And just call it good.
Yeah. I go with that. Now, that's something that could have an effect on the story that Chuck is going to talk about.
I had to read this thing twice, and I still not sure I understand what was going through this guy's head.
I don't think Quentin Tarantino understands either.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, he says one thing, and then he says another thing in terms of what timeline he wants to place this the next Trek movie in. He says, I don't know how much I can say. The one thing I can say is it would deal with the Chris Pine timeline. But then later on, he says, now, I still don't quite understand, and JJ can't explain it to me, and my editor has tried to explain it to me, and I still don't get it. Something happened in the first movie that kind of wiped the slate clean. I don't buy that. I don't like it. I don't appreciate it. I don't F that. And I don't think he understands fourth dimensional thinking about resetting timelines and whatnot, because later he comes back and says, the interviewer says, so that's more in line with your honoring the series that you loved that came up with, you know, referring to TOS. He says, yes, exactly. And ultimately why I would be interested. Somebody asked me what it's all about. What about Star Trek you like? And he says, easy, William Shatner. I love William Shatner's James T. Kirk. That's why I like Star Trek. The reason I like Star Trek more than I like Star Wars is William Shatner's not in Star Wars. Wow, a little bit of bias here. Sorry if you're a Star Wars fan as well. William Shatner is James T. Kirk. That's my connection. That's why I like it. So the reason I was actually intrigued by the J.J. Abrams version is because I thought Chris Pine did a fantastic job, not just playing Captain Kirk, but playing William Shatner's captain. He is William Shatner. He's not just another guy. He's William Shatner's Captain Kirk, and Zachary Quinto is literally Leonard Nimoy's because they had that scene together. He's Spock, and they effing nailed it. They just nailed it. So in one sentence, he's saying, I want Chris Pine. I don't think he quite gets the whole timeline reset, but if he gets his way, he's going to have Chris Pine playing more basically in the Prime universe, Kirk, is what it sounds like. But
I didn't think that. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I apologize.
No, go ahead.
I didn't think that Chris Pine was playing William Shatner so much as he was playing Kirk and making it his own. I don't think he was quite. I mean, there were some shades of William Shatner in there, but I didn't think he was playing the character. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think he wasn't like talking like him and acting like him, but he owned the character and he made it his own. I don't think he was really William Shatner.
Yeah, I think that's Tarantino's point, that he envisioned that as kind of, if you were going to be playing the character of Kirk, knowing what William Shatner had done with it, how could you riff on that without appearing like you're riffing on that and make it your own?
Yeah.
I'm concerned that he's going to come up with a whole new timeline that doesn't fit anything if he gets his way.
Well, it confuses me because the person who's doing the interview, they say, in response to some of the stuff Tarantino saying, is I'm going to lead you down a road. You want the Guardian Forever from the Forever to have happened, don't you? And he says, now I'm thinking, all right, well, it did happen. So I don't think the interviewer understands either that, no, that timeline still exists. But anyway, so then Tarantino goes on and he says, one thing I find interesting is this, I want the whole series to have happened. Mm-hmm. It just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. No Benedict Cumberbatch, no Khan. He's not Khan.
Right.
It's like he's going to completely ignore Into Darkness and Beyond.
Right. But what I'm hearing there is that
he's
saying right there that this is a prequel to the series. Because he says, I want the whole series to have happened. It just hasn't happened yet.
And that the footer on the article is okay. Sometimes directors can do that. They said producer James Cameron is making a sequel to Terminator 2, the right. Paramount produced Terminator Dark Fate, which ignores the movies that came after. Similarly, Ridley Scott has reshaped the Alien franchise since his reinvolvement, basically ignoring everything after Alien and Aliens. So Tarantino's idea seems like it might be fitting that same mold.
It seems like it's kind of splitting hairs a little bit. I get a little confused when,
he doesn't own the franchise. It's not like, Ridley Scott came out with Alien and James Cameron did Terminator, but Tarantino doesn't, he had nothing to do with the origins of Star Trek or commands its timeline.
Well, what I'm wondering is if you have this reunification of Trek, so now you have Bad Robot, who apparently is still involved. I thought their rights to produce the movies had lapsed, but he makes reference to JJ in this. All right, so you've got them involved, but one might assume, possibly incorrectly, that Alex Kurtzman would be in charge of all things Trek. And he might not feel like what Tarantino is doing makes sense with what they're trying to do, because you're just muddying the waters even more.
Yep.
So if the reunification happens, this could throw this all into turmoil again. I don't know.
Let's just reset the clock and forget everything that came after the voyage home.
Well, part of it's all speculation on our part because we don't know what the story is supposed to be to begin with, so, or how it would fit in.
Right.
Why would he care that all the history was there before, you know, all the things that happened at TUS happened in his movie? Because who knows? Does it have to?
He's just a confused, senile old man at this point.
I like Quentin Tarantino, though.
I like a lot of his work, too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's
see.
Yeah. Let's move on from there to our last story before we get to our main mission. And this one involves something coming to the big screen. It's Trek-related, coming to the big screen, but it's not what you think.
Yeah. It's Star Trek 4, psych.
It's Star Trek 5. Psych.
Actually, Star Trek minus zero. Actually, it's the first episode. Star Trek the Motion Picture is headed back to theaters. It is a special 40th anniversary, and TMP showings will happen on September 14th. I'm sorry, 15th, nationwide through the Fathom events and AMC screening, which sometimes they show some pretty cool stuff. I think I saw Back to the Future when they released it or something. There was another. Doctor Who.
They did the trilogy.
They did the Doctor Who stuff, the 50th anniversary. So in addition to the screening, Paramount has announced that they're talking about plans. They're planning plans to remaster the 1979 film in a 4K Blu-ray director's edition.
And if you need a bathroom break, you know when to go.
So coming up, I thought this was news is timely because it's about a little over a month away. So you get your tickets now if you want to go see Star Trek the Motion Picture in the big screen. And I think, Clinton, you pointed out to me earlier, this is not necessarily the director's cut. This is like the theatrical version.
Yeah, I think this now kind of running mixed on here, right? Because I can understand both points of view. First of all, I don't think they have a 4K version. I know they do not originally have a high def version of the director's cut, because Paramount, when they did the director's edition several years ago for DVD, where Robert Wise was involved and they redid a bunch of the special effects.
Right.
Paramount didn't give them the budget to do any upscale stuff. So there wasn't even like just a regular high definition version of this movie. So they would have to go back and redo these effects again. They clearly have not done that if they are just considering doing a 4K release of it. So I've got a feeling the movie you're going to see in the theaters is the original motion picture. And if I was a fan going to see a 40th anniversary of a movie, I part of me says, yes, I'd want to see what was originally in the theaters, because right. that's what it's the 40th anniversary of.
Hey, George Lucas feels the same way. Oh, wait,
no, but, no, he doesn't.
Yeah. But, and this is just a personal opinion, I feel like the director's edition is a much better cut of the movie.
Agreed.
And, you know, yeah. So I would rather see that cut on the big screen, because I've seen the motion picture on the big screen several times, but I'd really like to see this one, which shows a lot more of what was originally intended for the movie. And yeah. cuts out an awful lot of that just staring at, you know, the screen as they go through over V'ger.
Yeah.
Into the cloud.
Reverse angle, forward angle. Okay, there we go. That's pretty exciting right. stuff.
Panoramic 3D.
You can buy the soundtrack too.
You can.
Oh yeah.
The extended soundtrack, which has all that sound on it.
All the V'ger music.
Absolutely.
Well, so I agree with you though. I would rather see the director's edition, but at the same time, I kind of go, kind of want to see the theater. I don't know if I want to. I'd rather see the director's cut in the theater, though.
Yeah. But we're not in charge. They're in charge. We're in charge of saying that about does it for our subspace chatter. So it's time to press some buttons.
Woohoo.
Yay.
That was a great technique on the buttons there, Chuck.
Thank you. I've been practicing.
It's on the wrist.
Hey, 2 hours a day. You get to be pretty good at this. It's like piano.
And it's time to head out on our main mission. And this time, as I mentioned, we're going to be talking about all the things that were mentioned at San Diego Comic-Con that are Star Trek related. So let's start at the beginning. Okay, we're going to stand in the line for an hour to get into Hall H. An hour to get into Hall H. We're going to get there at 5 a.m. to get into Hall H. Anyway.
Yeah.
Good thing we got the M5.
Yeah, which I've done. It's not pleasant. All right, we're going to start off with Star Trek Discovery, which I think got probably the shortest amount of attention at the panels. And I think it's mostly because they really didn't have anything to show. They're still filming at this point, and most of the cast was still in Canada doing filming of the season. We did find out a few things, though. We found out a specific year that the Discovery has jumped to the year 3187. Wow. So get your 3187 calendar out, and you can mark things off. They do not, as we suspected, they do not arrive at Terra Elysium. They end up in some place different, and they have to, according to Kurtzman, find each other.
What?
And I took that to mean that Burnham ends up in one place and the ship ends up in another place.
That would make sense. She wasn't on board.
Oh, and that's true. Yeah.
By the way, my birthday's on a Thursday in the year 3187, in case you want to stop by or something.
We were just wondering that before the show.
Note to self, get Chuck present.
Note to self, the Unix cal command does go up to 3187.
I was going
to
say, does it?
Yes, it does.
We also get introduced to a new member of the cast, David Ajala, who some of you may know has played Manchester Black on Supergirl this past mm-hmm. season. He joins the cast as Cleveland Booker. Apparently, he has to be named a character after a town. So it is Manchester Black or Cleveland Booker. You have your choice.
Or Dr. And Detroit.
His nickname is Book. So You don't want to confuse that with Firefly.
Yep.
Yeah. He's described as the character who likes to break the rules, and we are promised that he isn't exactly who you expect right away. So there's
you think so? I hope so.
Some intriguing things going on there. Well, the first thing that's intriguing is clearly it worked, this jump ahead, because there's somebody who wasn't on Discovery that appears to be human and is alive.
They picked up somebody?
So I'm saying that the whole point of them jumping ahead was to save, you know, everybody from being wiped out. So if there's somebody there, I guess they succeeded at least in that part of the job.
Tasha Yar?
No, Tasha won't be there. Sorry.
She's been lobbying to get on Picard.
And they talked about there being lots of eye candy in this new environment. But Alex Kurtzman assures us that it's really the story of the interactions of the family that is the crew that is forefront in this. And the show, as I mentioned, is still filming, and there was no indication given as to when we will see season three. Is it going to be 2020? I don't know.
I imagine it will be next year, but it's probably going to be after Picard.
Yeah, we'll get to the lack of information on when. Actually, nothing was given a date. Let's rip that bandage off right now. They didn't mention any specific dates for anything.
Any dates I think we all talk about is going to be pretty much speculative.
We'll have it before the 24th century when it really happens.
Do you guys have any thoughts on what was mentioned about Discovery? I said the pickings were kind of slim on this part.
They did, as you mentioned, there would be things that we recognize and things we don't. And I was thinking, you know, that opens the door now that they're in the future for the things that we do recognize. I'm sure it opens the door for like the Borg and stuff like that, maybe. Or what was that race that in Voyager? Species.
Oh, yes. The number, yes. I want to say 872, and I'm sure that's wrong. So
yeah.
If you're yelling at your listening device right now, I realize that I probably got that one wrong.
Yeah.
But I take that as extrapolating out things that we know about in
8472.
Okay.
Yeah. You're close. Yeah.
That some permutation of those type of things will, I've got a feeling the Federation is not around though. I can't see that.
Probably not.
So the question is, well, what comes after the Federation, or the Federation mutate into something as an alliance with with the Klingons and the Romulans and the Bajorans or the Dominion or something. Yeah, everybody's been Borged.
The First Order.
Welcome to the Borg Nation.
Yes. We are a part of the Borg Nation. All right, let's move on to our second thing that was announced. And this one we got a bit more meat on the bones of, which was the Star Trek Short Treks Season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we already knew that there was going to be 6 shorts this time around, as opposed to the 4 that we had the first time. 2 of those were going to be animated, and then we had 4 live action ones. And we knew that one of them was going to be in the Pike Enterprise timeline, because we had Spock and Number One in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What we didn't know was 3 of them will be based around Pike's Enterprise.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have one that is based around sort of leading into Picard.
That'll be interesting.
It said 15 years prior, and it involves Picard in something. So you get to see something of what led into the decisions he's making in the series. Which sounds like it's, at least at this point, it's the only one of the 4 that does what most of the short treks did last time around. Because last time around, almost all of them had ties into season 2 of Discovery. Right.
Well, actually, didn't they all?
I guess the time crystal itself was the way you would have the MUDs one tying in. Otherwise, MUDs really didn't tie into anything specific. And we'd already seen the time crystal because he used that in the first season when he was doing all that jumping back. So I wasn't sure, was there anything else in the MUD one that really tied into?
That's probably the one I'd have to think about, but Calypso, you know, of course, takes place after this jump.
Right.
About, and I think, that's I think about 50 years after the time that they just jumped to. So, Tilly, of course, that runaway had something to do with it.
Stowaway, runaway.
The brightest star, yeah. Calypso. Yeah. So, somehow, I don't, maybe that's the only, Escape Artist is the only one that wasn't.
Right. Yeah, because I still think that it's a, I think it's a, somewhat of a long game on Calypso. At least what I'm assuming is that, you know, we got part of that because they jumped ahead 1,000 years. And Discovery in Calypso has been waiting 1,000 years. So there's some, I feel like possibly we will get a playoff on that at some point on mm-hmm. the show. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that will actually happen. Then once again, there was no mention of a release date for these short treks. Although if one of them has to do with something that leads into Picard, and Picard is supposed to be out next year, and I think the best they give is early 2020.
That would indicate mm-hmm. they need to come out sometime in the next 6 months.
Right.
Yeah.
And they were still filming. It's interesting that there was a side interview with Ethan Peck and Rebecca Romijn, and they were giving a timeline of when they found out about these short treks. They had finished filming, I guess, in February on season 2 of Discovery. A very short time later, they're getting this note from Alex Kurtzman saying, we're going to do these short treks again this year, and we want to have you guys involved. And they shot them in May. Mm-hmm. So I do have this feeling that they were getting close to the end of filming. And by that point, I think they'd started to air at that point, right? Because if they're wrapping up in February. So I got a feeling they were already going, you know, a lot of good buzz, a lot of good feeling about this. I think we'd better try to figure out what to do with this pronto.
Well, if you remember right, the four short treks from last year were one a month. If they're going to keep pace with that, and Picard is coming out, they said early 2020. I take it early is more like first quarter. Maybe into second quarter.
I was thinking like pushing it.
Yeah. January, February, probably after Super Bowl.
Then you do your backwards calendar. We should have one coming out next month. August, September, October, November, December, January. Boom. I mean, you could slide that maybe back a couple of months, but I'd expect something August, September, October.
Well, short treks were one a month. And they led up to, was it a month gap between the last
something like
short
that? There was a bit of a gap.
So I guess it really all depends on if they're going to back it up like that. And they might indeed do so. Is the thing we do not know is when is Picard actually going to come out? And still no clue.
He's a little older now and he can't find the door.
I see. All right. Any additional thoughts on the short treks beside the fact that, as alluded to in the title of this episode, they showed a trailer for the short treks. We didn't see any mm-hmm. of the animated stuff in the trailer. We did, however, see, and I don't think we saw the Picard thing. I think it all centered around the stuff that had to do with Pike and Number One and mm-hmm. and Spock.
And they did announce all the titles there. It's in the video.
Right. But they didn't associate which one went with which. But at the very end, of the teaser trailer. There's a little girl, and she's clearly eating Tribble.
Yeah. Oh, they're so fuzzy, or Tickles, or something like that.
Yeah.
And they did show Tribbles in the trailer.
They did.
A couple of times, and one looked like the classic scene of Tribbles raining out of the grain the bins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another one had a figure whom I can only guess might be Cyrano Jones.
I didn't notice that one.
It was strutting or standing in a corridor or something. It was rather interesting. I picked up a vibe on that. He didn't have that big boisterous. John, what's that?
You're talking about H. John Benjamin. He does the voice of like Archer and stuff.
This is
my greatest discovery or whatever, you know. Yeah, he was standing in the hallway yelling. Is that what you're talking about?
Could be. I'd have to go back and watch it.
He had a Starfleet uniform on.
Oh, did
right.
he? Okay.
And, right, and it wasn't Rainn Wilson.
No, so, okay. I'd be interested to know if Tribbles are around, if Cyrano Jones is not far behind.
Well, absolutely. I think, why am I saying Rainn Wilson? It's Harry Mudd. I'm not talking about Cyrano Jones. Well, maybe... Let me pitch this out and see what happens.
2 minutes, go.
What if he is Cyrano Jones and he gets kicked out of Starfleet for causing all this mayhem? And he becomes, you know, maybe that's not even his name. Maybe he changes his name to Cyrano Jones to avoid, you know, all the bad feelings or whatever. I don't know. I'm speculating here.
We're good at that on this show, and we've never been right yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't wait till the end of the year. We go back over all our predictions. That's going to be interesting.
Right.
We ought to be designing fashion or something. We're better at that.
All right. So we'll leave Short Treks and move on to Lower Decks. And on this one, we got a lot of information. I just bulleted some highlights here. I didn't go all the names of all the characters, but we had this portion of the panel was emceed by Jerry O'Connell. And I noted that he made the obligatory announcement at one point going, I'm not Jason Bateman. Sorry, you know, because this one has to do that. Lower Decks is set in 2380. They say right after Nemesis, and Voyager has returned home at this point. Whether that means they make a reference to Voyager somewhere in the show, I don't know.
Tom Paris makes a walk-on something.
Yeah. As a cartoon, it's interesting. The story centers around four ensigns serving on what they keep identifying is a not important Starfleet vessel. But now we have a name for it. It's the USS Cerritos, a California-class ship, which was created for the show. And no, we did not get to see a picture of the ship.
The new crunchy snack, Cerritos.
Mmm.
There was not a picture of the exterior, but they showed like the hallway or...
Yeah, we got to see corridors, and we got to see...
Yeah.
I think what they said they were designing it, and what you get to see is an empty holodeck. So that was really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks.
Yellow lines on black. How imaginative.
They describe this, the stories, as kind of the B stories from a TNG episode, but they said that, they're fully... their own stories. It's not like it's just they're just throwaways. There is a bridge crew in addition to the ensigns, and the bridge crew, you know, obviously they think everything is about them, but our story is about these four ensigns that are in the lower decks and what happens to them.
It says a hauntingly familiar tune to Red Shirts.
Could be. It's interesting that on the panel they were talking about how this was not something they were looking to do originally, but McMahon came in and pitched it, and they said, "We've got to do this. You know, this is too good to not do." It sounds like it's going to be
never
fun.
Been done.
Well, it certainly hasn't been done as far as animated stuff on Trek goes, because, you know, animated Trek up to this point is one series, and it was pretty serious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So to have something that's you know, a comedy, you know.
Hey, remember, you know, this reminds me of is on Robot Chicken, you know, with the night crew, the night bridge crew.
Oh, yes. They're going to be partying on the bridge. Yes.
Oh, beer me.
I'm not sure if it's going to go down exactly like that.
What are you doing on my bridge?
We just, nothing.
Beer me.
They said that the show is going to be fun, but it's not going to mock Star Trek. And there'll be plenty of Easter eggs on the show for longtime fans. They threw out, like, for instance, that they might mention Odo's bucket to
again?
Point a phrase. Yeah, we just talk about Odo's bucket. They will be half hour long. Mm-hmm. And the initial 10-run episode season will arrive in 2020. Once again, just in 2020.
Magic number.
Yeah, so we're getting a lot of stuff that's starting to stack up in 2020, which I think we talked about. We speculated earlier that once we get the new year, we're going to have to avoid this idea that it's going to be Trek every single week. A new one will finish Picard. That leads into Discovery. That leads into Lower Decks. That leads into Short Treks. That leads into Picard again. You know, there. You know, will there be a break in this stuff?
Nope.
No break.
Okay.
That keeps this show busy.
I want a regular cadence of stuff. You know, and be cool. I mean, look.
Watch it anytime, though.
Well, look, for us growing up, you know, look how much gap there was between movies, and all of a sudden, then we had TNG, and then we had Voyager to look forward to. And then, you know, there was a little gap, and then we had DS9, and so on and so forth. Say that right? No, wrong over.
No, you want to get the idea. Enterprise is the one that was not a crossover,
No. But I'm just saying, no, we got the series, but there was, but the cadence was like long between.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, okay, this is something I'm interested in. I'm curious to see it at a faster pace. I don't know.
Well, one thing that they didn't mention, as far as I know, now Discovery is released on a weekly basis, but we don't know if the same is going to be true.
Oh, that's
for
true.
All these other series.
They could be just dumped and mainlined.
Right.
I
would imagine I can see the Short Treks being doled out like they were last time. That makes sense. But maybe with the half hour show, then we'll go, we're just going to put them all out at once. That seems to be the model.
Wait a minute. Lower Decks is going to be on Nickelodeon, right?
No. Let's not confuse. I know it's getting confusing now. No, Lower Decks is going to be on CBS All Access. The unnamed. I forgot to put down that's the other thing they didn't talk about at all. But the other unnamed series, animated series, to be on Nickelodeon, completely different, and they did not even mention it. And so I'm going to update my document here to say that Nickelodeon, because the other thing they didn't talk about at all before we get to Picard is Section 31. They didn't mention anything at all about that.
That's true. I didn't even think about that. You're right.
On that grounds, now, when we had very little to discuss on Discovery at the panel, you probably have even less to talk about Section 31, because they haven't started filming. I don't even know if they've built sets for it yet, because that doesn't even start until they finish filming this season of Discovery, which they are still doing.
Have they started writing?
Yes, they have. Okay. I think they have. The last thing I heard, they had more than half the stories broken for it.
but that was
a while ago.
If they're broken, they should fix them.
Mm-hmm.
Little duct tape.
That
Clinton can't type and talk at the same time.
Well, I'm just trying to think if there was anything at all about there was nothing about the Nickelodeon series.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. So let's move on to the last thing they did talk about, and that was a little thing called Star Trek Picard.
Pickard.
Oh, sorry. I was mispronouncing. I had the accent on the wrong syllable for that one.
Right.
We got, first of all, we got a new teaser trailer, and it doesn't just involve a vineyard. Yay!
He got to go to work.
Full disclosure, there was a vineyard in it. But
there was.
Yeah.
I was very afraid because it started off at the vineyard. I'm going, oh no, please get out of the vineyard.
It's the whole series revolves around him putting out the newest crop.
Oh, don't miss the exciting wine. Pruning scene.
He's out there whittling, waiting for the wine to set, you know?
Interesting, they had a Picard exhibit at Comic-Con, and they had a crate of the Chateau Picard wine. Could you buy it?
Nope. No.
Couldn't buy it.
Yeah, everything's for sale, but
missed opportunity.
Yeah.
We found out a few things from this trailer. I'm going to start off with a young woman by the name of Daj comes to Picard for help. And Picard, as far as we can put together, Picard does go to Starfleet about the situation. And then it appears that Starfleet is either unwilling to help or only going to offer a minimal assistance. And Picard puts together this ragtag group of individuals to go out on whatever this mission is. We also found out in a subsequent interview, I think it was also at Comic-Con, that Picard has a couple of Romulans working with him at the vineyard who I don't think we saw them in the trailer or
they
any
don't
photos.
Have a home. They don't have a home. So he's got
to. Well, they can't all live with him.
Well, what's left of them? How many do you think there are?
Well, I see there's only two and he's got them both. I see.
It's a match set.
They keep crossing the border, even though there's a wall there and you know, it's all just kidding.
All right. But let's get to the main thing that we all went, what? In this trailer, we suddenly see a familiar face show up.
Data in a drawer.
Well, before we see Data in a drawer, I believe we see, well, maybe it's afterwards.
I think it's after.
See Seven of Nine show up.
I know. That was a big shocker.
And then we see Brent Spiner show up as both Data and in pieces. So it's not really Brent, I guess, in that point. B4 in a drawer.
Would that be Brent in a box?
It would be Brent in a box. It's a Brento box. Yeah, right there.
Wait, as soon as he opened that drawer, though, I was like, what?
Brent a wreck?
Yeah. Pull yourself together, man.
I know.
We also found out that Hugh from TNG, the Borg Hugh, is also in the series. And despite, you know, so we've already had one person who said, oh, I don't know anything about this series. I don't know anybody involved. I haven't been asked. Well, in addition to Brent Spiner, Jonathan Frakes and Marina Sirtis as Riker and Troy will be in the series as well. Now, they're not all going to be in it every episode. They went out of their way to say that this is not getting the whole crew back together again to go out on the Enterprise. We will see these characters, but they might be in one episode. They might be in parts of a couple of episodes, but we will not be seeing them on a week-to-week basis or episode to episode basis.
People we joked about being on this show, we'd never mention Jonathan Delarco.
No, well,
yeah. You. We missed that one.
I
always thought he was kind of a, you know, one-off. He was on a few episodes and, you know, you don't really see him ever again. It's kind of surprising that he is coming back.
That'll be an interesting, it should be an interesting plot point.
You know, When I saw the Borg and they were taking the implant off, I on my second viewing of the trailer, I went, wait a minute, is that Hugh? Sure enough, it was.
So I don't know if I'm wondering if they haven't dropped some other shoe about somebody else making an appearance. Because I'm thinking, all right, it's not out till next year, and you've mentioned everybody that we're going to recognize who's going to be on it. Something in me says, I doubt that.
There's got to be another surprise in there.
Right, because you don't want to give all your surprises out ahead of time.
Yeah. Barkley.
Yeah, well.
Could be.
Could be.
But the reveal of 7 of 9, I was like, what? Oh, you know, surprised that she was showing in it too. One, because they certainly did keep it quiet very well. But two, she hasn't interacted with any of these people before. So I'd be curious to see how this works. And obviously we saw our Borg cube. Then we've got Hugh and then Brent Spiner coming in, which I had a theory that one, either the drawer or the droid he's talking to is actually Lore.
Well, in an interview, Brent Spiner said that he specifically says that he's Data in it. However, he's also very well. And then he says he believes that the android in the drawer is B4. So maybe he was not involved with that scene because, you know, it's not actually Brent Spiner cut up into little pieces. I know, shocking. So maybe he didn't see that scene until it was in the trailer and he's speculating about who that is.
I also thought that I know that I'd read somewhere that Picard was pretty devastated about Data giving his life for him to save the captain. So I'm wondering, as in his older age, that's bugging him so much that maybe him having conversations with Data is in his mind. You know, he's just talking with Data in his head.
Well, I wonder about that, but it's something weird about the way that Data is framed in the shot. You don't see his body. You just see a real close up of his head.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, does he not have a body? Is it just, I mean,
it's talking head.
Is it just, and he also, Brent says that Data is in this, but not necessarily in the way that you think he is. Now that could lead into what your speculation is, Craig.
Mm-hmm.
It could lead into he's running some operation in the background someplace, and that's now his function. I don't know what that means specifically, but it seems like we're still not really sure what Data's involvement is in this. Mm-hmm. You know, it was very clear when you're very excited when you first see it, going, oh, yay.
Yeah.
Data.
And he just hangs out in the closet and plays poker with Picard on Sunday nights. Would you like to play a game, Professor Falcon?
Not that global thermonuclear war again.
And they are still filming on Picard. Matter of fact, they had not filmed the scenes with Riker and Troi yet, I guess, because Patrick Stewart was saying at the panel that he was going to be filming that stuff the following week.
Oh, I see.
So, again, this is why we're probably not getting it until 2020, is because even though this is probably not going to be as effects driven as Discovery is, it still takes time.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? I would pay good money to see this now. I don't know about you guys.
I'd like to wait until it's all perfect. You know,
says that? I'd like to wait.
Well, I mean, I could see the dailies, but go, you know, insert special effects shot here. So I'm going, I don't really know about that.
No, I mean, the fanboy of me is like, I want to see this now is what I'm getting at. You
know? Fair enough. Yeah. At least we got something more to see, like I said, than the vineyards this time around.
How many times did y'all see the trailer?
I watched it several times. One of the things that struck me, it probably didn't strike either of you guys, is that Picard, and I knew that they had filmed the scene there, so it shouldn't have struck me that way, but Picard goes to the Starfleet facility, and you have this shot of the building and the back of Picard as he's walking towards it, and there's other Starfleet people walking around. Mm-hmm. It's the Anaheim Convention Center. Oh. There's no matte shot that hides it. The only thing that they've done in that shot is hide the words Anaheim Convention Center on the building.
Well, it could exist.
It changed hands a couple of times between now and then.
What was interesting about that is, if I recall correctly, they were filming that scene of Picard at the Anaheim Convention Center right around the time that Star Wars Galaxy's Edge was opening at Disneyland, which is literally across the street from the Anaheim Convention Center.
Which is why all the people were wearing Starfleet uniforms.
Yes, exactly.
And Mickey Mouse ears.
Yes, it was very confusing. Very confusing. But yeah, there's still things that I haven't picked up on in the trailer. So I've got to go back and look at it a few more times. I'm sure I can find the site, though, that's analyzed it to death and says, oh, well, on this shadow clearly indicates that this person is, but.
Yeah, because a lot of that stuff towards the end is rapid, rapid cuts. I mean, you got to be looking close to see even the hue shot.
By the way, you know, if you pause YouTube, you can use the period and the comma to do frame by frame.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done that a couple of times. I'm like, whoa, what did it? If you look at my Facebook page, I put the, what was it? I took a screenshot. It says, here it is right here. This facility has gone 5,843 days without an assimilation. I took a screen grab of that.
Nice.
It looked like a prison or something. I couldn't tell.
Right. You're talking about with it. It's like all that open grating, and there's people above and people below. Yeah, it didn't look like a prison. I don't know what's going on. Of course, that may be where Picard is getting some of his ragtag band of misfits for his mission.
That's right. And, you know, they're going to pull up, throw a chain around the window, and then jerk the wall loose and take everybody.
Yeah. Do you not understand the prison break? No, anyway, let's not go there. So the great thing about doing this podcast is you, the listener, can go back and listen to this episode in like 6 months after Picard has come out going, you guys were so wrong about every single thing that you said. Well, remember, we're not the official Star Trek podcast. We're just the official Star Trek podcast of Star Trek fans.
We're playing the long game for feedback.
That's right.
We're the official speculation Star Trek podcast.
Hey, we do it well.
All right. Well, with that was a lot of stuff that came out of Comic-Con this year. I mean, last year we had Discovery. And this time Discovery was kind of the footnote to all the other stuff that was going on with Star Trek. So we have interesting times ahead. The next year is definitely going to be an interesting time to be a Star Trek fan.
Yeah, this will weed out the fanboys from the from the chafe.
That's right.
See who hangs on longest.
All right, and now we're going to go to our warp speed roundtable. Last time around, we asked. Oh my goodness, we got a phase run overload.
I think that's what we need to do with all our speculation.
Burn it away.
Is that an overload? Red light up there.
That's not an overload. That's the main phasers firing.
Oh my goodness! It sounds the same.
It does sound very similar.
How weird! Awkward. All right. Last time around, we asked what one element would you change about the story for Star Trek V. I didn't get a chance to go over and check on Facebook. Did we get answers to that question?
Nobody watched Star Trek 5. Nobody's willing to admit they watched Star Trek 5.
I don't want to leave anybody out if they left maybe even replied to them for all I know. Hold on a second. Well, while I'm waiting for that to load.
Please share your pain.
And your screen.
Let's move on to this time around. I'm going to ask, which of the Star Trek announcements made at Comic-Con excites you the most? Now, it could be very specific, could be an actor, could be a series, could be anything. So just what excites you the most? I'm going to start off. I think we know where Craig is going to be on this one, but I'm going to start off. And
Craig's going to be on the Orville. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Now streaming exclusively on Hulu. I'm going to say the thing I'm most excited about is Lower Decks.
And okay. Why?
It's not that I'm not excited about the other stuff. It's just that it's so different that I really want to see something, you know, whenever we talk about stuff with Star Trek, it has a certain mold, and it seems like this pushes the edge of it by being a comedy in addition to being about the secondary crew, but we've got the main crew, and the main crew seems to be kind of full of themselves, and you know, that's not who you even want to concentrate on. It just is such a different take on things that I'm anxious to see it. You know, you said, Craig, if you know, you'd pay good money to see this now. Mm-hmm. Well, I'd really like to see Lower Decks as soon as possible, because it seems like it's going to be quirky, different than anything that's been in the Star Trek mold up to this point.
Right. They walk up to the replicator and get sprayed in the face with a drink.
Hopefully the humor is a bit more interesting than that, but we'll have to wait and see, because we don't know when it's coming out. All right, I will go to you next, Craig. Surprise us.
Surprising.
What announcement got you excited the most?
Actually, it wasn't so much of an announcement as that Star Trek, I'm kind of torn between Picard. Of course, I want to see where our characters that we know and love are at, you know, and I want to see where they take the story that Picard's on. I am excited for that, very much so. But I'm also going to go with Discovery, because I want to know what is going on in the year 3187 and how they fit in it, because all of a sudden their ship is arcane compared to everything else. I'm curious what's left of Starfleet, or did Starfleet change? Is it gone? So I'm kind of torn a little bit between Discovery and Picard, but I'm kind of go with Discovery a little bit.
Okay. An interesting twist. M.I. Chemelong is jealous. And let's go to you, Chuck. Which of the announcements, Star Trek related, at Comic-Con were you the most excited about?
I'm going to go with Star Trek Season 3 as well, because it really gives the writers license to try something new. Discovery mm-hmm. has been a prequel show and has had to hold to canon and got criticized pretty bad in season one for, wait, where did holograms come from and all this stuff? By going into another time frame, they can really break that mold and become their own show. And I'm excited to see what that becomes.
Excellent.
That's kind of where I was going with that. Yeah.
Yeah. And Craig, you brought up an interesting point that I've always thought about when you have technology on Star Trek, it seems as if everyone comes up with the same idea at the same time about the size of a ship and what powers that ship. I mean, you've got Romulans and Klingons and the Federation. The ships are all pretty much the same size. And
yeah,
then suddenly
like
next
something.
Generation, they all become bigger in the same ratio.
Yeah. Because you got an arms race kind of thing going on. I guess you would have, the Klingons and everybody trying to match what the bigger ship that they saw and, Starfleet push out.
So if they don't use the spore drive, which I wonder about the use of the spore drive, because, you know, we had the whole issue with the mycelial network, and then all of a sudden there's Stamets using it again mm-hmm. after all that. But let's say they don't use it. They might. If they don't, then they have warp drive. Is that going to be like, oh, how quaint, you have warp drive?
Yeah, it's like steam power.
Mm.
We have double secret warp drive now.
Yeah, exactly. We have trans warp drive
that
now.
It doesn't disturb or damage the time-space continuum fabric stuff.
Yeah, thing.
Well, actually, I was thinking that Discovery star charts could potentially not be accurate. So if they're starting to jump around, that could be a problem.
Right.
You know, because they, if they're in a particular sector, they, their database might be different, especially 1,000 years in the future.
Well, stars aren't going to move that much in 1,000 years.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, what, you know, maybe two planets exploded and I don't know, you know, and you got debris. Who knows?
Oh,
I'm just saying.
So what happened to SETI Alpha 6?
Yes. Stays on minute. SETI Alpha 6. No, it doesn't anymore because it's all blown up.
Well, Chuck, when they were there, Romulus was in place and now it's not.
That's right.
So.
That's right.
What about Praxis?
Nope. Nope, not there anymore.
Oh man, all our good vacation spots are gone.
Praxis.
Rurapinti. Yeah,
I'm gonna vacation on the moon of Praxis. Excellent. All right, so we've answered the question. Now that one has to put the question out to you guys in the listening audience. What excites you most about the Star Trek announcements that were made at Comic-Con?
Just the fact that there's a lot of them coming.
Well, they could be that, because that certainly is true. So let us know over at our Facebook page for The Topic is Trek, or you can tweet at us at The Topic is Trek, and I'll do a better job of trying to keep track of all that stuff for our next episode. But for now, yeah, I think we're going to start getting ready to wrap this thing up, because we've come back from San Diego to beautiful downtown. Name your city here.
You know, you didn't say it once in this show.
I didn't say the topic is Trek.
.com. I didn't. I never rang the bell on the .com.
Chuck's got his finger ready to go, and you never said .com.
Twitching the whole time. We rang it for Comedy Forecast.
Ring it again, then. Because you just said it.
Well, just as a reminder, I don't see it in your notes here, but don't forget to look for us on the Dragon Con schedule.
That's right. And hopefully next episode or two, we should be able to give more details, but we'll also put that announcement out on Facebook and so forth as well. All right. Once again, I'm Clinton. You can find me at Comedy Forecast. Let's get a ding again for that one. There we go. Just got to, oh my goodness. Well, maybe I won't get one for that. I'll get dinged for that. That's all one word with the number 4. And Chuck and Craig, who speaks for you?
I speak for me. Us. I am.
There are 4 likes.
You could find us over at Technorama Podcast. If you put that into Google, you'll find us. Chuckchat.com/Technorama or any of the typical social media places, including YouTube and Facebook and all that good stuff. So Technorama Podcast is what you want to look for. We have all kinds of fun over there.
All right, but right now it's time to refill the dilithium chamber and hit the theme, boys. If you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend about it and subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on Twitter at The Topic is Trek. Visit our Facebook page. And of course, visit thetopicistrek.com. Until next time, on behalf of Chuck, Craig, and myself, I'm Clinton, thanking you for listening. And as we always say here on The Topic is Trek, don't
put on the red shirt. Don't put on the red shirt. Don't put on the red shirt. I told you 3 times.
No, that's when Beetlejuice shows up.
Engage.